Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mind Body Green's beauty podcast, Clean Beauty School. I am your host and Mind Body Green's beauty director, Alexandra Engler. On this podcast, we explore beauty through the lens of well-being. And on today's episode, we are diving into skincare and self-care tips from the famed celebrity esthetician and founder of Rescue Spa. Without further ado, Danuta, welcome.
Hi, everybody. So my name is Danuta. You did such a great introduction. And I think the first thing I can say, I've been an esthetician for over 30 years. And I love it. Skincare is my passion. It's been my passion since childhood when girls were playing with dolls. I had a little mini apothecary and I was making potions and lotions and so forth.
So it's a lifestyle for you. You've been doing this from the get-go.
It's a calling. It's a passion and calling more than just a passion.
Well, then, this is a great place to start. Let's talk about how you became an esthetician and what brought you on that journey.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, starting early back in Poland where, taking care of your skin is basically inherited because the climate is a little bit more harsh. My skin actually is quite sensitive, so it's very sensitive to cold and hot and environment. So I always had to take care of my skin even from early on. And I grew up with two older sisters and one of them suffered from acne, so I was very much interested how to take care of acneic skin and help to have clear skin for just a better confidence and so forth. So because of that, I decided I'm going to go to beauty school. And so I study nursing in Poland because beauty school is kind of adjacent to nursing. And I went to the, a beauty sector and I love it. And since then, I moved here to US, so I had to go and get my license in US. I study in Paris and apprentice with Biologique Recherche founder. So I was super lucky to have amazing mentors and I'm super grateful to have amazing mentors. And that's why I am here. And the rest is practice, a lot of practice.
Okay.
A lot of facial.
So you mentioned that, taking care of your sister was a very formative moment. And, I always love hearing about people's memories in relation to beauty and, how those moments shaped their relationship and their outlook with beauty. You obviously have the one with your sister, but I'm curious, are there any other moments that you can look back to and point at and say, okay, that really shaped where I am today or that shaped who I am today?
So it's definitely my mom too. My mom, I can still smell, she had this lipstick packaged in a beige kind of a cover. And I was always, one shade of red. remind you, I grew up in Poland, so things were pretty sparse. And then we always had a tin of Nivea cream. And the way we use the Nivea cream in Poland is the way the Windex is used in my big fat Greek wedding. It's the Nivea cream is for everything. you have dry ends on your hair, you put on Nivea and so forth. So I always love that idea of the universal product that you can use. And the same, I watched my mom, to put the lipstick on, but then she would take a little bit and make, her cheeks a little bit more rosy and so forth. So I think that definitely shaped me. And since, I grew up with my mom and of course my two older sisters and this was very formative for me. Yeah, I always wanted to be like them. One was blonde, one was brunette. So I kept switching my hair, from blonde to brunette because I wanted to be like them in a way.
I love that. Okay, you said that you studied in Paris. Obviously, you're from Poland, and now you live in the States. That's a lot of beauty influences. I'm curious about how these different trainings have informed your overall approach to skincare.
So I think starting in Poland with the beauty training, I think that's, the beauty school concept, it's really dates back in many centuries, Helena Rubinstein came from Poland, and she was a beauty guru and beauty magnet, you know, in the early century. But growing up there, it's definitely a part of it, because we take care of our skins more than anything, you know. Here in the U.S., I think women take care of their bodies amazing, and, you know, teeth and hair and the other things. So all these influences together are, you know, awesome. And of course, in France, you know, French women are known for being such a minimalist in some ways, but in other ways, they have, you know, a certain sense of style, and that is all related. So to me, the beauty, the art, the style and fashion, you know, all of that is really interconnected. So I think I'm a little bit of everything. I'm you know, so that's where I am.
I always love hearing about how various cultures approach beauty, because I do think it says so much about the broader culture in general. And so it's just, yeah, it's fascinating to hear about how all those ways or all those places influence your approach. And speaking approach, I want to ask, what is your beauty philosophy?
Well, so to me, beautiful skin is a matter of choice, not a chance. That's my motto and that I live by. And I think we can all choose to take care of our skin and to take care of, you know, skincare routine is supremely important. You can get as many facials or as many laser treatments or injectables or whatever you wish to do. But if you don't have developed good skincare regimen at home, you know, you're missing out. So that has been my biggest passion overall. As much as I love to do facials, my, you know, the skincare regimen, it's what I really live by. And I've been practicing myself. Like, I've never went to sleep with makeup on. My mom used to always say, if you go to bed with makeup on, your skin ages by 7 days. So I'm like, no. So
I love that. That is enough to make you get out of bed and go to your sink and take off your makeup.
Yes. So I live by, you know, I practice what I preach. So.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you about this, you know, trademark, this mantra of yours, that beautiful skin is a choice, not chance. And I love it. I think it is so succinct. I think it, you know, articulates that ethos that you just described, that, you know, you have to make choices every day. And I'm curious, like, how did you craft this philosophy? Was it because, you know, you were seeing clients who weren't taking care of their skin every day? Was it, you know, was it something that you were realizing in your own life? Like, I'm curious about how that philosophy was developed.
So oftentimes, you know, when I worked with clients and I noticed that people that have great skin, you know, they're born with, like, a wonderful skin, no big troubles, no breakouts, no pigmentation, just like a overall great skin, they sort of like don't pay so much attention. And then all of a sudden they're getting older, they don't even know how to take care of their skin. But women who actually struggle with different skincare concerns, from sensitivity to breakouts to dryness to just like, you know, they were able to develop a good regimen. And as a result, they maintain gorgeous skin. I belong to women that I had breakouts, I had sensitivities, my skin turns pink, you know, easily and so forth. So I always, and it's a combination skin. So it's like one day is dry, one day is, you know, oily. So I always felt like I needed to take care of my skin, and my skin was very responsive. So that the magic about skin, it's a living organ that reproduces, regrows. And if you take care of it, it's almost like, think of anything that is growing, you know, you water your plants and they're going to grow well. So for me, you know, taking care of your skin, it's like watering your plants.
Yeah. No, I think what you said is so true about people who have skin issues or skin concerns, or just, you know, maybe their skin is a little bit more high maintenance, I'll say. People like that do develop much better habits earlier on in life. Like I had acne when I was really young, and really severe acne. And it took me a long time to figure out how to clear my skin and like what lifestyle choices I needed to make and, you know, all of that. But the foundation that it laid for me, I'm very grateful for, because I am so careful with my skin and I take care of my skin so well. And I don't think I would have done that had I not had that, you know, early introduction to skincare.
That's the first thing I've noticed when I saw you, we just met. And I said, you have well cared for skin because your skin is glowy and it's clear and I can see you taking care of it. So you're probably using all kinds of magical things. You probably acclimated already to some retinol, some things like that, and acids and so forth. So you're just not leaving this to a chance. You're actually, you know, making a good choices, and which sometimes trial and errors, sometimes takes time, you know, no pain, no gain. Your skin might be blotchy, might go through retinoic reaction, might peel, but ultimately you're learning and you're kind of growing and building the regimen. So it's not like a quick shot. And, you know, it's almost like working out. You're going to work out, you might have a little injury, you know, if you really do a lot. You know, that happens. So, but you're willing to go through the challenge to get to the better place.
Yeah. I always use that that metaphor as well about taking care of your skin. You know, there is such like that natural comparison to going to the gym. It's like, no, you have to put in the work. You have to do it. I always say visiting an esthetician is like visiting a trainer. And I'm a big believer that if you can, and if you have the means available and you have the time and you live in a place where you can see an esthetician, I am a big believer in having a professional at your disposal and a professional that you trust, that you can work with. And, you know, that's you to a lot of people, or, you know, you are that person for a lot of people, I'm sure. And I'm curious, you know, when you're working with clients, how do you start that process with people? You know, how do you get to know people's skin? I love hearing about kind of that onboarding with new clients.
So I think, you know, generally for me, I can tell a lot because your skin tells a story. So because I've done so many treatments, I can, you know, even sense if and notice if I look up close, if somebody went on Accutane or they had a, you know, treatment or had acne in you know, in previous years, or pigmentation and so forth. Because certain things are kind of like telltale signs. Nothing is bad. Everything is more almost like taking in consideration. And then the most important part, what are they using now? Because, you know, I always say there's like a few types of clients. One will be using like a skincare buffet, which is everything and everywhere, because there's so much on the internet now. Another client might be, you know, I just cleanse my skin and maybe, you know, maybe use a cream or not. And you know, and then there are people who constantly switch, you know, products and so forth. So we all have like our own little things going on. And I think the professional helps you streamline it. A really good professional, it's like, you know, doing has to help you creating edit that will work for you at this time. That doesn't mean in 2 months or so, you don't have to change. But for the, it's almost like, you know, working out, as you said, right now, maybe you need more cardio and more weights, but other time you may need more stretching. And it depends on, you know, it depends where we are, because our skin is forever changing. It's a season. You know, seasonal stuff, it's different, you know, obviously in the summer months, winter months, and the climate we live in and so forth. So yeah, professional advice is important.
We always get that advice too. Don't be afraid to evolve your skincare routine. Like, it's okay to make adjustments based on what your skin needs at that moment in time. And that doesn't mean bounce around between products or bounce around between, you know, too many things, but there, you know, there's a certain art to infusing in new products and new stuff.
Order or how we do the skincare really matters.
Well, tell me more about that.
So I am a firm believer from many, many years that 95% people don't cleanse their skin properly.
Okay.
So my biggest thing is like, how can I encourage people to cleanse their skin properly?
How should they be?
Double cleansing in the evening, starting with oily, creamier cleanser as a first cleanse, always, even for oilier skin. Something like our Cerebalm, like a product that I developed, because it takes oil to break down the oil. It takes more oil to break down the makeup, sunscreen, you know, the grime of the day. So that first cleanser, massaging in better, like really kind of falling in love with massaging your skin. It's almost like, think about brushing your teeth. So, you know, many strokes, it's the same, you know, brushing, massaging your face. And now using a washcloth, a clean washcloth with each and every day, I think it's super important because it helps to remove, it helps to cover every little, you know, nook and cranny and crevice on the skin. I mean, I'm very thorough, so I'm being very thorough with cleansing. And then the second cleanse is kind of optional. If you are oily and you love your, you know, let's say more satsy cleanser or your gel cleanser and so forth from time to time, great, or enzyme cleanser, but I generally like gentle cleansing because, but thorough. So gentle doesn't mmicI just touch with like micellar water. You can be gentle and massagey and thorough.
Okay, so once you get the face wash step done, what are the next layers that you tell people to stick with?
Toner?
Okay, you're a toner person.
Oh, yeah, I'm so traditionalist and purist in that. Toner does a few things. So that's why my second product in my line, I develop a toner. Toner balances the skin, removes the maybe remaining, usually when you use a toner and you use it with cotton rand, you still see like remains of like, you know, maybe dead skin and so forth. Removes that remaining of dead skin and preps the skin for what to come. It's like a prepping step for your magical serums, your magical creams and so forth. So then they can penetrate better. And a toner skin should be slightly exfoliating, not too much, because you might not want to over exfoliate, but you want to balance and exfoliate gently because skin builds every day. So you want to gently every day exfoliate and prep. So that will give you a glowing skin.
And then following that, we get to serums. I'm always curious how people approach the serum step. You know, are you somebody who is all in on retinol? Are you a vitamin C person? You know, where are you going?
Well, I'm super sensitive. So I have like this on and off relationship with retinol.
Same. Oh my God, same.
As much as I like the results, I can always overdo it. So when I overdo it, my Cerebalm is what it's healing me. But, you know, I believe we need to add a vitamin A because the vitamin A and C are building blocks of collagen. So, and the results over the years when I watch, you know, I learn from my clients. So I saw the clients that are using smartly retinol products or retin-A products are really, you know, have great skin. But you need to use really, you know, more is not better. Quite on contrary, you need to have like, it's like how to dose that. so it's a really art to, you know, to really get acclimated because with retinol, it's unfortunately, you can have retinoic reaction also at any time. And then if you're using any other actives, the retinol can be, you know, then you need to balance it out, use less. So yeah, so a little bit of retinol and, you know, there are products on the market that like really are good about adding a, you know, a strength. So you don't have to start strong. You can acclimate. Like Environ has great retinols. Is Clinical has great retinols. And then vitamin C. So I personally do vitamin C in the evening, but then some people love vitamin C in the morning. But to me, vitamin C in the morning, it changes often. I don't like my skin feeling goopy in the morning. I feel like my skin, I would like to breathe and fresh and moisturized and all that. So I don't know, but that's me. But I do my actives in the evening.
Okay. And then what, besides retinol and vitamin C, what other actives are you recommending for folks? Because, you know, those are the most famous, I would say, but there is a plethora of ingredients.
And that's why it's nice to have few. Niacinamide is amazing. The peptides are amazing. Hyaluronic acid is amazing. I think there are different, you know, there are different ingredients, different products. A lot of times how product is formulated, you know, do you see results? Does it give your skin like a good nourishment and so forth? So, yeah. So I think with that, there is like a lot of choices, and I think we should dab into those choices and see what works with your skin. For morning routine, of course, don't forget in the evening, all these happy serums and happy actives, you want to seal them with a moisturizer.
Yes. Do you have any tips on looking for a good moisturizer?
Yeah, because I created one.
I mean, that helps.
So my moisturizer, my Cream Supreme, is incredible because it's clean beauty. But I wanted to create clean beauty, but active, and not just, you know, because it's clean beauty. It's firming because anyone at any age, you know, I'm in my 50s, but so that's a different story. But like somebody even younger, they need more maybe firming on the level of like pores, that the pores are firmer, and like the face structure. So I wanted to have the firming peptides. Probiotics are super important because it's almost like a soothing, healing, and balancing for the skin. So it has the peptides, has the probiotics, has the mineral complex because we are all mineral deficient. No scent. No artificial scent, and no artificial colorants. Okay, those are important for me because if I'm mixing different serum from different brands, they all have scents. Like you start, you know, everything kind of mixes together too much. So I'm always careful which line can mix with which. And I wanted to create my line that you can kind of mix with few of my favorites because everybody knows I have few other favorite lines, favorite things.
I want to touch on what you said about the minerals for a second. I know that a lot of people are mineral deficient. I guess I don't think about that a lot within the context of topical skincare. So it's really interesting that you said that. How does using it topically help? And like, what are you seeing with folks that shows that we're so mineral deficient?
So for me, the way I look at skin is like part of the body. It's like a living organ, and the outer organ, and it's responsive to anything. I grew up going to mineral baths, and I know my skin looks incredible after mineral baths. So why would I not put some minerals every day? So I know it's the same for our nutrition. We look at the wholesome foods, and I look at skin as like a wholesome nutriment. So for me, when I created cream, to me, it had to be like this most amazing nutriment that you put it on, and it's really compatible with our own oils, our own skin. And it has everything. It has peptides because of the proteins, right? In peptides, it has minerals, it has vitamins, it has, you know, fats. So it's like comprehensive nutriment diet kind of thing on your on your face that also makes you look good. So that's why I'm into clean rather than like the silicone, based products or things like that, because I wouldn't put silicone in my body. So why should I put it on my body?
And it's also like those ingredients, they're just filler ingredients. They're not actually doing anything for the skin. And I would rather be using products that are only using ingredients that are going to benefit. And like, that's why I like clean products more, because I feel like I'm getting more bang for my buck.
Yes. Because, you know, if the products are created well, it's not about the active ingredient only, because that can be only 1%. But it's like, what is the base? So the base is super important, that it's that is beneficial for the skin as well.
Yeah. Are you an oil person? Are you like topping it all off with facial oils?
Body oils, love. Facial oils depends. So you know, my cleansing balm, my universal balm has a metal foam oil, which is the most similar to our own sebum. So I'm careful with what type of oil, and because, you know, also your active ingredients like the hibiscus oil, we have the sea buckthorn oil, they are more like suspended in a beautiful, you know, and some vitamins are only work with oils.
Yeah.
know, like you have the vitamin E or vitamin A, they need oil to really to be active. So, or vitamin D, for example, right? It's usually better in oil form. And, you know, any cream, it's a water and oil. So.
Yeah. So in that sense, yes.
So I love them, but like, I'm not so much of like, you know, just putting on oil straight because they have to be formulated really smartly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Actually, one more thing with oils, they go rancid.
Yes, yes, they do.
Like for my balm, I choose the metal foam oil because it has the longest stability in the shelf life. And anything that, so I don't have to put too many parabens or, I mean, there's no parabens, but preservatives or anything like that. And that stability for me of the oil, it's really responding to stability on my skin because, you know, if you put a product that goes rancid really quick, it's not good.
Okay, so I think about this a lot too. Like if you're applying something on your skin and it has the ability to like go rancid or destabilize, is that affecting your skin when it's like essentially going rancid on your skin?
Big time. Yeah, that's why like you want to see also when you put products on, it's not always how they feel right away.
Yeah.
How is your skin? An hour later, 10 hours later, how's your skin at the end of the day? Is your makeup running off because everything is kind of looking almost, you know, unhealthy and so forth. So you have to, I'm in tune. It's almost like inherited how things are kind of, what's the shelf life? How is the stability of the product and stability of your skin? I think it's super important. Makeup is like that too, right? Like when you put it on.
Yeah, that's kind of what even like prompted this is because I feel like you hear a lot about with like foundations or concealers or something, you know, they turn orange or yellow throughout the day and makeup artists are always like, oh, well, it's oxidizing. And I'm like, well, do I want something that's oxidizing on my face? No, right?
That's why you really, you know, because I worked with formulating products tirelessly. It's like how certain things connect with another. So how is the metal foam oil connects with the C-Bactone oil and hibiscus oil and a mineral complex? And when they are, you know, of course, they go through, you know, extensive tests and they're certified in Europe. They are actually formulated in Europe. And so there's like a little bit different levels of, you know, testing and so forth. However, I think the biggest testimonials are from clients, returning clients. And when they, you know, they need to, it's not enough just to say it has this amazing ingredients. The clients will have to experience that their skin looks better, that their skin is, you know, functioning better after using and that they want to get another, you know, jar and so forth and so on.
Yeah. I want to ask some, you know, quick tips from you. So I always love starting with this one, but what are some of the biggest skincare mistakes that you see people making that you want to correct here?
Not cleansing properly. I think we spoke about that. And not exfoliating enough, because sometimes people think that, you know, if they have dry skin, they don't need to exfoliate. But exfoliation, it's like a big word and encompasses different things. So there is manual exfoliation, there is, you know, chemical exfoliation. So you want to do a little bit of both. The manual exfoliation, the best to do is with your washcloth during cleansing. And applying the way you apply the products. So speaking of application, that's a huge mistake people do. They have products on the shelf. They don't know how to use them.
Okay. Explain more.
That's why you need an esthetician. The other day, I was doing facial on someone with Danucera. And she said, oh my God, I've been testing all kinds of products, but no one ever explained how to use it. So it's really important to hear, you know, the experts. And try to follow. You don't have to follow. You just try to follow for a week and see if it gives you a result. So that double cleansing, that massaging, that tapping, you know, with the toner, spending time with that is super important. Yeah, so I think the the double cleansing, often people skip that, and exfoliation. So exfoliation with a toner, and think about exfoliation. If the skin is rough, texture rough, it's not exfoliated generally, because exfoliated skin will feel smooth, and it's usually on our face. Skin is more exfoliated, less exfoliated usually on the back of our arms. And then when you touch it, it's like, oh, this is how it feels, skin not exfoliated.
And I loved the advice that you gave about exfoliation is a big word and a lot of things fit under it. I think people hear exfoliation and they immediately go to like the strongest peel pad that you can buy at Sephora. And that's not what we're talking about.
No. You're exfoliating while you're buffing, while you just, you know, think about like, you know, the gentle removal of the dead skin. Because if you look at the skin under a microscope, I don't know if you ever look at it, but that's a fascinating story. It's built like little shells. So it's almost like scales. And those very, very top, you know, we need them for protection because it's basically like a roof. But, you know, this very top shelf needs to come off, the very dead one. And you have to remove it in some ways manually, because all your, you know, products can do, like I have a toner, but if you only spritz it without the cotton, you're not going to have the same result. If you only put in, you know, cleanser and don't massage it, don't remove it with a washcloth, it's not the same thing. And you know, using a washcloth and using a cotton pad and tapping, it's not going to harm your skin. Do no harm first, right?
I do feel like skincare people need to take our own like version of the Hippocratic Oath, where we're like, do no harm.
Yes. No, because, you know, if you don't have to, like, why you need a strong peel and massive laser if you don't need to?
Yeah. No, for sure. And I think a lot of people see this stuff on Instagram and they think they need it, but they don't.
No, but if you're doing your work at home, you probably don't. It's the same way we all don't need to run a marathon to, you know, to be in shape.
I love that. I'm stealing that. Okay. What is the piece of skincare advice that you give most often?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's this double cleansing, it's toning, really layering your products and keeping your skin moist. Even oily skin needs a moisturizer. So when I created Cream Supreme, I thought about people with oily skin, post-acne scarring, any kind of sensitivity, any kind of blemishes. You know, you need to apply moisturizer to heal faster, because it's all inflammation and it all needs to heal, and it's going to heal. That's a thing. And if you have a breakout or you have a skin condition that, you know, all of a sudden happened, just I want to encourage everybody to skin heals. So just being patient and you know, and it's just sometimes no pain, no gain. You kind of try something, maybe you did a little harsher treatment and so forth. It's not the end of the world. It's actually good for your skin. You just have to go through the little bit of pain.
Yeah. No, I think that's such a fair point. You know, like your skin has a profound ability to heal itself. So, you know, you'll bounce back.
Yeah, I also, you get a cut, it heals, and just moisturize and hydrate and massage, it's going to heal faster.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously, you have Rescue Spa. And so I want to dive into a little bit of some spa insights. What are your favorite professional treatments and technologies right now?
Well, again, I'm a purist. I developed Fixerol Facial and Biolift Facial many years ago, and they, until today, they withstand the test of time. And because at Rescue Spa, I train all the estheticians myself. I have few amazing trainers that have been with me forever. And our techniques matter, because we don't use only machines or only hands. We combine them. So you cannot get great treatment. It's the same you do at home. You cannot get great treatment because you bought expensive product. You need to apply it. You need to use it. You need to do that. Same at the spa. You cannot give good treatment only with machine. You need to use hands. So that facial massage is underestimated. I would encourage everybody at home to do, as little as a few minutes to as long as you would like, you know, gentle movements, more like a pressing movements, lifting, tapping. We do amazing facial massage. We use amazing products. We use amazing equipment. So the best of the best and combined together produces the best facial in the world. That's me. I'm not confident that, you know, because it's like, and I, you know, we create our own methodology a little bit as we go along. So even if you are diehard, you know, lover of a certain skincare brand, I would always, you know, add my spin to it. It's a little bit like, you know, design. You don't want to wear head to toe Chanel or whatever, or one thing. You need to add your own spin. So Rescue Spa, we have our own little, you know, concoctions of a few different brands that are absolutely amazing and created amazing facial.
Yeah. As far as the technologies that you're using, you know, what sort of things do you like the most?
Timeless microdermabrasion, because you need that physical little bit of resurfacing. Electric currents, we've been using electric currents, remodeling face machine from Biologique Recherche forever. Love that. LED, oxygen, some radio frequency when it's needed. And we do have light lasers like the BBL type that can be used from time to time. But as a concept, we only advise to use lasers, you know, once in a while and only when it's needed. So, and then we have different types of products. We have the Danucera products that are, you know, super clean. You can use it while you're pregnant, while you're breastfeeding, or going through a medical treatment or sensitive or so forth. We have Biologique Recherche. We have Valmont, we have Is Clinical, you name it. So, but not, you know, it's all edited. It's just the best of the best.
Yeah. No, I mean, you named the top spa brands, so including your own. So, okay. Now I want to get into how you take care of yourself. I think the easiest place to start is your skincare routine. So how do you take care of your own skin?
So, you know, let's start. I'm 57. I haven't had any injectables or anything like that.
You look amazing.
You know, I'm not against them or anything, you know, for others. It's just for myself, I haven't. I probably should soon. But for me, skincare regimen is the thing. I've been using eye cream since 16 years old, and I've been taking care of my skin also probably as young as probably 12 or so. So never went to bed with makeup on. I believe that from we need to switch the products because they work really best if from time to time that you alternate them. This way you can include different, you know, ingredients in it and also allow the skin to kind of rebalance. So yeah, so it depends on the time. Currently, I'm using a lot of the Danucera because I'm testing and doing that. I did try that retinol. I had a little retinoic reaction. I cured it with Cerebalm. So, you know, I'm always on the journey.
Yeah, you switch it up a lot. You sound like a beauty editor. Work constantly.
Yeah, staying out of the sun. You know, the working out, not losing or gaining weight. I think keeping weight is very important because, you know, if you yo-yo too much, you stretch out the skin and then you can create a skin laxity. So finding a healthy, you know, diet, finding that, you know, nutrition, drinking water, you know, but also having fun, you know, you still have to live your life.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask you about, you know, your broader well-being routine and, you know, obviously eating well is part of it, but, you know, are there any other things that you stick to, like
yoga?
Yoga?
Yoga. Yeah. I've done yoga for many years and, you know, it also, you know, goes through different, you know, variations, but I always maintain it. Okay. So once you've done something for a long time, it's really good to maintain. So let's say you were a runner, you want to somehow maintain that, you know, that ability that you were able to run a certain amount. It's like I used to do Ashtanga, so I want to maintain that ability to do my headstand. So I'm doing that. But I also go to the gym. I lift weights because as older I'm getting, you need to lift weights a little bit. Stretch, walk. I probably don't run as much, but, you know, a little jog and walk. And I have a farm. So, you know, I go out on a farm. I'm in nature with my dogs.
I think you have my ideal life.
Over the years, I build it, but trust me, I came here with $20 in my pocket and work hard.
I believe it. I believe it. It sounds lovely.
I love working. So I'm one of those people who's going to work until the end.
I think it's good for you. I really do.
Totally.
I mean, my parents are still working and they're past what's like the normal retirement age, but they're certainly very young at heart, and they're very active, and they really credit to the fact that they work and they love working, and I am a big believer in it.
Yeah. Yeah, so find things that you like doing it, so you don't feel like you are working. But also, you know, finding that purpose. I think the most important thing in our lives, we need to find the purpose. And whatever that purpose is it, you know, raising family or whatever, as small or big, but like, I think something that drives you, it's the something that you can, you know, go back to it when challenges arrive or something like that. It's so important. So for me, it's been work and it's been skincare and, you know, rescue spa and passion and mentoring, a lot of aestheticians.
And you're also a great guest on podcasts. So add another thing.
Thank you.
Well, I wanted to say thank you so much for joining me today. This was so, so fun. I am leaving with so many great nuggets of advice and so many great little sound bites. You're so quotable. So thank you.
Thank you, Alexandra.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. For more beauty content from the team at MindBodyGreen, you can always read along with our content at mindbodygreen.com, follow us on social media, and of course, tune into next week's episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to rate and review us. And if you ever want to reach out with questions or insights or thoughts, you can find me on Instagram at Alex_Blair_. Thanks so much for your time.